Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Learning to Code in HTML tutorials. This is a slightly shorter tutorial, but one that's perhaps a little more complicated than those which you've encountered before. In this episode, we're going to cover the ways that you make a link and the ways that you make an image in HTML. They're quite simple once you understand them, but before I explain those, I want to go over the content of attributes once again. An attribute is something that gives more information, basically. For example, if we have our heading tag that we are familiar with, the less than h1 greater than, we can give that an attribute such as id, which, well, as it suggests, gives it an id for us to refer to. For example, less than h1 space id equals quote 1 quote. This gives this heading an id of 1. All seems pretty simple. So let's move swiftly on then and put this into a practical example. We're going to start with the link tag, or more specifically, the anchor tag. Links are referred to as anchors, and you define them with a less than a tag. Now, the less than a tag on its own won't do very much. We need to give it an attribute of href. Don't ask me what it stands for, I've got no idea. Never bothered to learn. I just know it works, which is not perhaps recommended. So, what does this do? The href tag, or attribute rather, tells the browser where this link points to, whether this is an internal link or an external link. And what do I mean by internal and external? Well, there are potentially two ways one can link to things. You can either be talking about something that is within your current document, or you can be talking about something that is outside of your document. For example, in the tutorials page you are now on, for example, there are many external links which point to other web pages of nathantech.net. At the bottom of the web page, however, there is a jump to the top link. This is an internal link. The way you define these isn't much different, so we're going to start off with the more commonly used one, which is obviously external. And the way you do this is with the less than a, which starts your tag, space, href equals, then in quotes, where you want it to go. Now, for the purposes of this, I'm just going to link straight to our Nathan Tech's website. So less than a space, href equals quote, then I'm going to put the URL of nathantech.net, which is the https://nathantech.net. If you are linking to a document, so if I just wanted to link this to, say, my homepage, then I would just do index.html rather than giving it the full URL. When giving URLs, make sure to include the HTTP or the HTTPS. And then when you've put what you want to put, you put a quote and a greater than sign. So the full tag here is less than a space href equals quote http://nathantech.net quote greater than. Then we put what our link should appear as. So if I wanted this to appear as click here for Nathan Tech, I would just simply write click here for Nathan Tech. I could put click here. This link is awesome. Nathan Tech is the best. Cheese. It doesn't really matter. It's whatever you want the user to see. And after that, you close it out to make that nice sandwich with the less than slash a greater than. Have a play around with that. Feel free to pause this episode while you do that. And then we'll move swiftly on to internal links. An internal link, as discussed, is a link that jumps you somewhere on the page, and there are two elements to the internal link. First of all, we need to tell the browser where to go, not in a rude way either. So if we want to make a link that jumps us to the top of the page, then we need to tell the browser potentially where the top of the page is. For example, if we had a heading at the top of our page, we could use that. And that's what I'm going to use, in fact. So in our test web page, you may remember from the previous episodes, we had a heading at the top that said, this is, or welcome to my web page. This was a h1 tag. So I'm just going to edit that h1 tag here so that it reads less than h1 space id equals quote top quote. Aha! There is that ID attribute that we've been talking about in the previous episodes. Very useful. Now then, going back to our link element, it's defined much in the same way one would use an external link, which is the less than A space href equals. And then in the quotes, we're going to put a number sign, then top. This tells our web browser to jump to that specific element. You can have as many of these as you like. The IDs need to be unique for obvious reasons. But if you have a look at Wikipedia, for example, you see they've got a contents at the top of their articles. They are internal links, and they would define them most likely in this way. Other than the change in terms of instead of saying http://netintech.net, instead you put number top. Other than that, the link element is exactly the same for internal and external links in the fact that it takes the form less than a space href equals quote wherever quote greater than what you want to appear less than slash a greater than. If you want a link to appear on its own line, you obviously need to put a line break tag before and after the link, otherwise it will just embed it into the text itself. There's a final thing I want to talk about with links before we move on to images, and that's the download attribute, which you can give to links. This tells the browsers that this specific link is a download link, and to download whatever it links to. We define this in very similar ways, in that after the href equals, the href equals, quote, whatever, quote, we then put space download, and then our greater than sign, just the word download. An example used with this would be, for example, on the tutorials page, where you can click the links for each episode to download it. I have literally just told it there, less than a space href equals quote name of the episode dot mp3 quote space download greater than. Now, this is particularly useful if you want your user to download a web page or an mp3 file. Because if I didn't include that download, then most browsers would simply open the file in themselves. So it's quite useful to know and to apply relevantly. Next up, we're going to talk about how to define images in a web page. Now, for this part of the episode, you will obviously need an image file of some kind. I just grabbed one off of Google very quickly of a dragon. You can use whatever you see fit. Mine is a PNG image. You'll want to check what browsers support what, which is, again is available through the W3 Schools webpage. We're going to talk very briefly about the image tag because there's a lot you can do with the image tag in terms of alignment, in terms of borders and things like that. We're not really going to touch on that too much. They're all attributes of the IMG tag, which I'm going to talk about now. So the IMG tag, as you may have guessed, is short for image, and it defines your image. So wherever you want your image to appear, you put less than IMG space. And there are two very important attributes that we're going to talk about, the first of which is SRC. SRC is very commonly seen around in various places. It means source, basically. Where is this image coming from? And in our case, SRC equals, quote, dragon.png, quote, for my image. Your image might be SRC equals, quote, myself.png, quote. SRC equals, quote, massivesandwich.png, quote. Make sure to enclose your image name in quotes. The other attribute that we're going to talk about is alt, A-L-T. This is the alternative that will be displayed if the image, for whatever reason, is unavailable, and it's what screen reader users will read in place of the image. In this, you should insert a short description of what your image is. So, our complete element for this, for example, would read less than img space src equals quote dragon.png quote space alt equals quote this is a picture of a very fearsome dragon who's going to eat your face, quote. And we finish that off with either you can just put a greater than sign or you could put a space slash greater than sign. It's entirely up to you. Again, formatting, readability and all that. It's entirely up to you. As I discussed previously, You can also include alignment, which is just an align, A-L-I-G-N attribute. And there are several others, such as style, that one can include to format your image a little bit better to your page. I'm not going to cover those, mainly because that sort of style is called in-page CSS. Now, CSS stands for Cascading Style Sheet, and it's how web pages are formatted in terms of fonts and colours and background images and borders and all the fancy stuff. You can even do animation, I believe. I tend to use an external style sheet and then just link to it in the head section. However, you can use in document CSS as well, which is where the align and the style tags would come in, and you can use those pretty much in any sort of element that you like. But we're not going to cover those, as it's not really relevant to learning HTML, that's CSS really. That pretty much sums up this episode so far. You now should have a very basic understanding of how to put together a website. Basically, using the heading, paragraph, link, list, table, image, rule, horizontal rule, and line break tags, you can do quite a lot with a website just from that. And remember that websites are made up of web pages, which you might want to contain in your into a folder of some kind, just for organization's sake. As I keep saying, there are many, many elements which you can refer to on the W3 Schools website, linked to at the top of this webpage. But from the formatting I have taught you, you will be able to apply this knowledge to learn those tags. Off the top of my head, I do have one. For example, the way that you make text appear in italics, or italics if you're in the States. And the way we do this is with the I tag. Now, applying the knowledge that we've learned through the P tag, for example, for paragraphs, the H1 tag for headings and things like that, we can assume that the I tag for italics, or italics, is going to simply be less than I greater than what we want to appear in italics, less than slash I greater than. And that is completely correct. That's how you do. That's it for this episode. I thank you very much for listening, and I shall see you in episode 6, where we're going to dive into front-end forms. Thank you for listening.